Okay, so we had been discussing getting offers. Should you look for an Ephraim from birth? Shadchanim and how to deal with them, the importance of getting back to them, blind spots. And now we're up to the actual dates. Okay, so we had mentioned that on a date you're not supposed to buy an alcoholic beverage, you're not supposed to go to a place that's immodest. You have to factor in the laws of Yichud, choose a place where you will not be all alone. And I'll touch on something. Sometimes people get engaged and then it's tempting to visit in her apartment, in his apartment, or to go to her parents' house, which you say to yourself, that's not Yichud. Yes, it is, because you know you're going to stay up talking to her past 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Not that I recommend it, but nature does take its course. And at 12 o'clock, everyone's going to fall asleep on a Friday night, and you're sitting there all alone. And in the laws of Yichud, sleeping people do not preclude Yichud. That's why when I bring a babysitter to my house, I make sure there's a neighbor that knows the door's open, so it shouldn't be Yichud. I have a 12-year-old son. I could have a 14-year-old babysitter. I have other kids at home. They're all sleeping. So technically, Yichud is not precluded when there are sleeping people around. So that's also true on a date. That's also true when you get engaged, especially when you get engaged. Make sure to stay in a place. I mean, we're all human. So Like I often tell the guys when they get engaged, if things are normal, then Yichud and then there should be a greater attraction, and then it's more difficult. And as the relationship grows, you have to be more careful in the laws of Yichud. That's also Allah and the laws of Yichud. Okay, so that's something we're going to pay attention to when we choose a place for our date. You want a place where you could hear one another. I have to talk very loudly now, right? Because of the fan. If you're going to go to a place, a bustling shuk, where you don't hear her, or she doesn't hear you, it's not good. Before we continue for a second, I want to branch out to a mistake that many people make, and that is the development of a relationship online. What you develop online is not real. I've seen people reach a point where they thought they were ready to get engaged, and then date face to face, and suddenly it's a different world. So we'll begin with the phone conversation. You're talking to the girl on the phone, and as you talk, she's doing her nails. That's amazing. You know, she gives all the right responses, but she's checking her email, and she can make you really feel like she's with you, but in fact, she's in a different place. And the dating can proceed, and you can feel like you're connecting to someone. You don't see her eyes. You don't see the person. You don't see the body language. You have no clue if she's with you or not. She has no clue when you're with her or not. And a relationship is far less meaningful when it's over a technological connection than when you sit face to face. I've told people have said to me, she doesn't have time. She works and she doesn't have any free time. So I said, go meet her at work, eat lunch with her. You have to have it face to face. Don't tell me I can't do it. So a guy once asked me, I'm supposed to drive all the way to Haifa for a 2-hour date and then schlep the day back? Either date her or don't. But to do something which is not a real date and to think you're developing a relationship is completely fallacious. And people deceive themselves and they don't realize it. I've seen many a couple reach a point where they thought they knew one another because they had many, many, many hours of phone conversations. But it's not the same. You want to know the person, you got to see them, you got to talk to them, you got to see their body language. It's a different world dating a person face to face. They can't put on a facade, you can't put on a facade. Face to face, you are who you are. And that's very important. Now, I'm not precluding long distance relationships. Sometimes you have no choice, and a certain element of the relationship has to develop through Skype or through the telephone, and we've seen relationships develop that way. But you must give adequate face-to-face time. That is not enough. It can be supplementary. It's not the focus. It is not the real development of a relationship. So now we begin. Okay, what happens on the date? Yes. I think there are exceptions to everything, but I would be wary of assuming you're the exception. There's a reason for the rule. Most people will be deceived. I don't need this phone here.
You turn the fan off so you don't have to. You guys want to turn it hitting me?
Okay. what are we trying to accomplish on a date? So what we are trying to accomplish is a friendship. We will discuss later on, how do I know if she's the right girl, if he's the right guy? But what I'm trying to accomplish is a basic friendship. You'll ask me, am I looking for a girlfriend? No, you're looking for a wife. You're looking for a mother for your children. You're looking for a partner to build life with. But the development is of a relationship. So sometimes people forget that there are important points they have to cover. And that's why I recommend you develop a picture of what's important to me. When I interview people, I ask them, what are your goals? What are your values? What are your aspirations? How do you describe yourself? Those are four similar things which are important. How you describe yourself, your personality, what are your values? And here, let's take a mashal. I like this allegory. Imagine two people climbing a mountain together. And each one has one foot tied to the other one. Your right foot is tied to the other person's left foot. And as you're climbing the mountain, there are rocks falling down the mountain. So you can see those rocks, and you could avoid them. Sometimes you'll jump to the right, and sometimes you'll jump to the left. But it's always okay, so long as you both decide to jump in the same direction. The problems begin when you see a rock approaching, and you say, jump left. And she says, jump right. And you say, no, jump left. And she says, no, jump right. And then as the rock approaches, you start getting in danger. The rocks are the challenges of life. When you're dating, you don't know what challenges await you. People don't know they will have a child that's going to be challenged. People don't know they will have financial hardships. People don't know they will have medical hardships. People don't know they'll have familial hardships. People don't know they'll have communal hardships. People don't know they'll have religious hardships. People don't know. No one can forecast what life has in store. So how are you dating? The answer is, what you're trying to understand is, A, do we get along? Do our personalities mesh? B, do we share values? When the rocks of life, when the challenges of life come towards us, will we be in agreement on two things? Number one, on where do I compromise? Because life is a series of compromises. In all of life, we have to deal with challenges and things not working out the way we expected. And now the question is, where do we compromise? You know, tonight I had a hard decision to make. They told me you could go into the doctor, and I knew going into the doctor meant being late for class. And I had to ask myself, what's the correct thing to do? If I didn't think it was serious enough to go to the doctor, I would have said, I'll go tomorrow. I did go all day to the doctors. But when you contemplate, in life you make decisions, and the decisions involve compromises. And the compromise means I'm going to forfeit on certain things. What you want to see is that you have shared values. In 80 to 90% of your values, you have to be concentric circles. There have to be shared values. That means you're going to decide where you send your children to education. I know many people when they date don't discuss this. So I'm not saying you should discuss which Beis Yaakov will we send the girl to in 12th grade. No, I don't care. Who knows what will be in 12th grade? Who knows where you'll be living? I do mean that during the dating, what should become evident is that our values overlap 80 to 90%, so that when we have to make the decision, we don't know where we'll be living, but we'll have to decide which shul we attend, what school we send the kids to. Do we say better live in a place that's closer to work, where we compromise on the education, or live in a place where we don't compromise on the education, but we do have to compromise on family time because you'll be commuting to work? Well, you'll have an understanding that you're going to see eye to eye. So component number one that we're trying to figure out is, do we have shared values? And shared values is not a question of one-liners, you know, sound bites. It's a real question of where our values lie. And we, in a minute, we're going to discuss how you can explore that. But the second component, which is to my mind not less important but probably more important than the first one, is the question of, how do you make decisions? When a guy calls me up and says, I'm dating a girl that says she has a hard time with covering her hair. So I say, we have to understand two things. We have to understand that for a girl, it's hard to cover her hair. And there are many girls who did not grow up with it as a given that they're going to cover their hair when they're married. And my wife said an analogy when a guy once called. She said, tell him, how would he feel after he got married if he'd always have to wear pink pants with purple polka dots? You know, he didn't feel right, yeah? Because if you're not used to it, so that's what it's like to cover your hair. That's a part of my being a girl. What? I'm covering my hair? So that's number one. But number two, I want to understand how she makes decisions. If a person says, I'm not yet holding by keeping all the mitzvot, so you have to ask yourself, do I want to date someone who's not yet holding there? If a person says, I'm ready to keep all mitzvot, but I've heard there's an opinion that says, so then I say, wait, are you always going to make decisions based on, I heard there's an opinion that says, I heard someone says the restaurant's kosher, I see a person going in there that looks very orthodox, it must be kosher. Is that a good way to make a decision? If that's okay by me. Again, dating is not about the ideal, dating is about reality. Who am I? If the way I make decisions is, I tell myself, I heard there's an opinion that says that, so then I might meet a girl that says, I heard there's an opinion that says that. So the second component is the question, how do I make decisions? We said the first component is, do we have overlapping values? The second component is, how do we make decisions? And this is something now we have to ask, how do you explore this on a date? So again, our goal on the date is to be friends. Our goal is to have a nice time talking together. But we can steer the conversation in a way that will shed light on whether we see things the same way. So let's take a few easy examples. You show up to the date and you want to know how she views the idea of going to movies. How she views the idea of having a television at home. So you can come into the date and say, all the rabbis say it's forbidden. And I have a hard time looking someone in the eye if they can waste their time with a TV at home. What do you think about having a television at home? Or you could show up to the date and say, you know, part of life is free time, and every person needs to take a break. And we all know that we all need breaks every so often. And sometimes you can't just be doing things that involve thinking and not thinking. And so some people say it's a good idea to have a television at home. They say it's good to be on top of the news. It's good to take time off. Mothers will tell you that sometimes they can't get Shabbos ready if they can't put the kids in front of Sesame Street for 2 hours, right? Or four or six or whatever. On the other hand, if you look at houses that have a TV and houses that don't have a TV, there's definitely a difference. And there are definitely advantages, and people definitely end up spending more time in front of the TV than they should, and people end up seeing things that they probably regret seeing. And do we really want our child to know what that what the head of ISIS looks like, or who knows what else? Is that really so important to us? So, you know, there are two sides to the coin, and maybe you'll say we can balance it. Well, how do you see it? So you've given legitimacy to both opinions, and now you've opened the topic for discussion. Now, you can also show up with a story. Let's say you believe that you want to have a television at home. I think you're making a big mistake, but let's say you believe that. And let's say you want to make sure that she's okay with it. So imagine you can show up to the date and tell the following story. True story. There's a couple that I know till today that they're married, and after a few months, he sees that his wife is spending a lot of time watching TV. So he asked her, wouldn't it be better if we spent less time watching TV? And she said, I won't tell you how much time you should spend learning Torah. You don't tell me how much time I should spend watching TV. And after a few months, he saw he was going out of his wits, because he'd come home and he couldn't have a conversation with his wife without the TV running. And he'd want to sit down with her for dinner, and they couldn't sit down without the TV running. And then they started having children, and it was a given that you sit the kids in front of the TV when you need to get some stuff done. Now, that's not the way he imagined when they were dating and they discussed having a TV at home. So they reached a beautiful compromise. They reached a great compromise. She can watch as much TV as she wants, but she has to do it with a headset on. So he doesn't have to have the TV running in the house, and she has her headset on. What do you think of that compromise? Now, I'm not asking your opinion, because it really doesn't matter. But you understand that you've opened up a topic. What do the kids gain? What do the kids lose? Our goal in dating is not to define what's right and wrong. I'm not looking to convince her. I'm looking to get to an understanding. Are we on the same page? Do we share the same values? And through stories, I can bring it to light. And stories are far more informative than speaking in sound bites. You shouldn't waste time, but you do need free time. You could say sound bites and you have no clue what the person's talking about. But when you start talking about stories and you ask her what her Shabbos was like and you ask her about her relationship with her parents and you ask her about how she got along in high school and was she the more popular kid or less popular kid and were kids odd man out in her class and how does she spend her free time? And as you discuss these things, you start getting a picture of her value system. You share your stories, you hear her stories. Try not to regurgitate the same thing every day. I know you'll say, I'm the same guy, so yeah, but it's a little boring sitting on a date and seeing a guy say, well, I grew up and, you know, if you're going to say it with some life, make it exciting, make it interesting. I had a line that I still believe in. I used to say, I don't know if I'm going to marry this girl, but I want to leave the date with both of us feeling we spent a nice hour together. Whether we'll end up getting married or not, I don't know, but we might as well enjoy the time we're spending together, whether we match or not. And this brings us to another pivotal point. Very often people feel that during the dating, you're giving the other person a grade. That's not true. I dated a girl once that said to me, I don't know if I'm going to give you the biggest compliment in the world. I said, what's that? And she said, whether I'm going to agree to marry you. I was thinking, that's interesting, that's the biggest compliment in the world, to agree to marry me. Okay, that's interesting. I didn't agree to marry her then. But I don't view it that way. I dated a girl once where when we broke up, she begged me to continue, and I said, you make me feel this little. I look up to you so much, I can't marry someone that I feel is so much greater than me. I can't. I wish you good luck. I can't be in a marriage where I feel like an aunt next to my wife. We have to be on the same plane, and I feel you're in a different place. I can't. You're very smart. You come from a very pious family. I respect you. I admire who you are, and I can't marry you. It's because I look up to you. So then she wanted to marry me even more, right? But I couldn't. The fact that two people don't match doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the other person. People walk away from the date and they think they have to find what's wrong with the other party. It's not a question of giving her a grade. It's a question of, do we match? And it's not a compliment, so she matches me. Great, you must be a great person if you match me. No, that's not the question at hand. She can be a wonderful person. The question is, does she match for me or not? I dated girls who I thought were wonderful. We didn't match. So I was happy to set them up with my best friend. So I didn't think there was anything wrong with them. It's not that you don't marry someone, she's damaged goods. And here's an important rule. Sometimes when you date, girls think that they have to explain to you why you're not up to being married to them. And when they break up, they can kill a person. Oh no, not physically, but they could destroy a person emotionally. Don't let a girl do that. No girl has a right to do that. No guy has a right to do that. And if you reach a point where you have to break up, you may not say something derogatory to the girl. You have to be positive. She has to walk away from knowing you, feeling like a great human being, prepared to marry the next guy. You're not allowed to say something, even if you think she was mean and nasty. I dated a girl. I waited for her to show up, and she calls up, I'm going to be a little bit late. Already in the first phone conversation, she was making fun of me. So, okay. It didn't sound right, but I had obligated myself to the date, so I traveled out to, I think it was Bar-Ilan University where we met. It was an hour drive on a bus ride in the heat of the summer. I'm standing out there. There's no bench. So, okay, she calls me up. She says she's going to be late. I have my Mishnayos. Great. I didn't think anything was coming of this date, but I didn't see a way out. So I'm learning for 45 minutes. She calls up. She's going to be late again. She's babysitting. It's not her fault. Her sister's going to be late. Okay. She ends up showing up an hour and a half late to the date. I tell her, we don't have a lot of time. It's already like 10:30, quarter to 11. I said, my last bus back to Jerusalem is 12 o'clock. She said, my sister will be here to pick me up on time, 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock. I said, fine, but 12 o'clock is my last bus, so please make sure they're here to pick you up on time. Fine. We start walking. She's on the sidewalk. I'm on the street. She says, you know, you're shorter than me anyways. If I'm on the sidewalk and you're on the street, I really feel like a giant next to you. Get up on the sidewalk. Okay? The whole date, she's putting me down. Okay, we reached the end of the date. What a date. Yeah, it's a doozy. And I schlepped all the way there to date her. Okay. Say there. It's the end of the date. It's 12 o'clock. Where's her sister? She calls. Her sister says, I'll be there in a few minutes. And my last bus comes. And I'm standing there thinking, of course I want to leave. Leave her standing here at 12 o'clock at night after such a date. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. She's a Bas Yisrael. She's a daughter of Israel. So she wasn't nice to me. So what? She didn't mean to be rude. You know, she didn't realize she was being offensive. Okay, the bus comes and the bus goes. And it's 12 o'clock at night and her sister didn't show. So, okay, I'm waiting there with her. Guys, here's another rule. Be a gentleman. Don't leave her stranded all alone, even though it's her fault. You make sure you've seen her either onto a bus or onto her ride or wherever it is that you've brought her to a secure place. We were over there on the main highway, and then a car comes, you know, the way it is, Murphy's Law, 2 minutes, 1 minute after, just as you see the bus leaving, right, her sister comes and drives and parks like 20 meters in front of us. So, okay, she says, how are you going to manage? I say, I don't know yet. I have friends in this area. I'm thinking, who can I call at this time, right? It's midnight. But, okay. So, as I leave in one direction, a homeless person starts attacking her, right? And then I ran back, and the guy left her alone, and she went to her sister. But I felt to myself, you know, sometimes you do something right and you feel like a loser. Sometimes you do something right and you say, okay, something good came out of it. I did what was right. So the Ribbono Shel Olam at least gave me the satisfaction of seeing I did what was right. But you end the date, you bring the girl to a safe place. I was lucky. There was Shirut. There are these taxis that have a set fare, same as a bus. A minute later, Shirut's there. I'm standing there thinking, what am I supposed to do now? I'm looking, where's the homeless guy sleeping, right? Maybe there's room on the bench down from it. But Shirut showed up, Baruch Hashem, and then I was back in Jerusalem, you know, 5 minutes later. But I didn't know that then, right? It doesn't matter. You have a responsibility. Took a girl on a date, bring her back to a safe place. Yes?
In the secular world, it's expected that, like, you take her home, not, you know, you take her to the door.
Yeah.
In the religious world?
I think usually not, but find out from the shadchan. In the world I dated in, no. The girl didn't want to be seen with you next to her house. She didn't want all her friends asking her tomorrow morning who was the guy. But you have to find out. I don't know the social norms each person will be dating in. So ask the shadchan what's the norm to where you... Okay, so we said the first date is more general. A date, in my mind, should last a minimum of an hour and a half. A date should start at a normal time. Don't start your dates at 10, 11 o'clock at night. Start the date at 6, 7, so that by 8 o'clock you've had 2 hours of dating. If you started at 6, you want a date in the morning, afternoon, that's fine. But you shouldn't be out. It's not nice for a young man and a young lady to be out on the streets at midnight. It's just not nice. I'm saying doesn't look right. Your date should end at 10:30, 11. And this is also true when you're engaged. Okay, it's not nice when people see a young man, a young lady out very late at night. Doesn't look right. I recommend keeping the phone conversations to a minimum. You talk 5-10 minutes, you talk 20 minutes, don't talk hours on the phone. Save the talking time for face-to-face time. What ends up happening is, you've had your first date. So the first date, we said, ran for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. If it runs 6 hours, there's nothing wrong. That's great. You started your date at 12, 1, 2, 3. And you at 9 o'clock at night, you suddenly realize, hey, we've been together all this time and I didn't even notice it. Great. That's a great sign. That the best sign that a date is going good is that you didn't notice it. You spent a lot of time together. You have natural chemistry. That's great. No one's limiting it. You might want to check if she has to end the date. You know, she might be missing her job or who knows what. But whatever. I always liked dating where you have the end open-ended, where you could keep running. I recommend, towards the end of the date, saying two things. Number one, telling her thank you, that you had a very nice time together. Number two, asking her when would be a good time to call her tomorrow. Okay, I want this. If there's one point you guys should have clear in this class, it's that you owe the girl an answer tomorrow, whether you're continuing or not. If there's one thing that, to my mind, I won't set up a guy again. I bli neder will not set up a person again, and that is, and I've had really good friends who did this, if a guy dates a girl and never gets back to her and leaves her stranded, I guess she'll figure it out at some point that I'm not interested in her. To my mind, that's a dog. To my mind, that's like... A feline, if someone didn't hear. Yes, a dog. I don't think that's a human way of behaving. There's another human being who's waiting for an answer. You want to say no, say no. You want to say yes, say yes. But don't leave the other person where they have no clue where they're holding. That's a very unfair. You're trying the person emotionally. And that's just, it's just not nice. I think it's completely indecent. So I believe that it's also nice to give the girl a feeling that she'll have a clear answer tomorrow. So you end the date and you say, number one, I had a really nice time together. Number two, when would be a good time to call you tomorrow so we can discuss the continuation? Now, if you know you want to continue, so if you want to up your odds of getting a yes from her, and you want, even if not up your odds, but at least to make her feel good, so then at the end of the date, you could tell her, I had a great time and I'm going to be happy to continue. I'll call you tomorrow. You'll tell me what you want. Don't expect the girl to answer you on the date. Most girls will not. And it doesn't matter if you're up to day 2 or day 10, and it doesn't matter how good the relationship is. Very often a girl wants to think, but she will be very happy that you told her on the spot that you're interested. Now what that does is it allows her the freedom of emotion to get attached to you. Because when a girl leaves a date and she doesn't know how you perceived her, so there's this defense mechanism. I don't know if he likes me, so I don't know if I like him. This is a rule in marriage as well. The more you can give her the confidence in the relationship that you love her, that you care for her in marriage, the more she can be open to connecting to you. This is a rule. The verse says in Proverbs, "Kamayim apanim lapanim," just as water shows a man's own face to himself, "Kein leva adam laadam." That's the way one man's heart is to another. If you think someone hates you, you have a hard time loving them. It's very hard. It's hard to connect to someone when you're not confident that there's a reflection of that feeling towards you. So in the dating scene, if you end the date and you told her, I had a great time, I really enjoyed getting to know you, and I'd be interested in continuing, I'll call you tomorrow. What you've done is you've set the scene that she walks away from the date feeling great. The guy liked me, he thinks I'm a nice girl. So she walks away feeling positive about the date. Right away when she has to review the date in her mind, everything's positive. You're a great guy. You think she's great, so you're a great guy. Now, you just want to be careful, because sometimes you walk away from the date thinking, I'm not sure, and if I'm not sure, then the answer is I might as well go out on a second date. And you might tell her, I had a great time, I'd love to go out again, and she walks away thinking, he wants to marry me. You know, she's thinking, this is great, this is an amazing relationship, and all you meant to say is, I'm not sure it's worth saying no, so I'm going to say yes. So you have to be a little bit careful with this, not to develop in her a feeling of confidence if it's not warranted. So if you had a great time, say you had a great time. If it was nice, so say it was nice, and I'd be interested in continuing. When can I call you tomorrow, and you'll tell me how from your end? In just one second, I recommend that on date 3 and date 5, you tell her before the date that you would like to, you could say you learned it here, that on date 3 and date 5, you would like to do an evaluation of where things are holding. You want to express where things are holding from your end and hear it from her. This is important because sometimes you hit date 3 and one side, the boy or the girl, are really excited and they're sure they're going to get married. And the other side is thinking, I'm not sure if this is worth continuing. I dated a girl like that. I dated a girl. I ended the date. I ran to a payphone. I called my dad. This was the days of payphones. Yeah. I said, I dated the most amazing girl. I might be engaged in a month. And 2 dates later, she dumped me. You know. So, okay. The sad thing is she's still single. I'm still trying to set her up. She's an amazing girl. I feel bad for her. It's sad. It's sad, you know, I don't laugh. I really have continuously tried to set her up. But coming back to date 3 and date 5, I believe are good junctures to find out where we're holding. It's important. Neither side wants to be caught in a situation where their emotions have charged forward and the other side is still left at the train station. You want to be parallel or close to it. Okay, so we discussed that our goal in a date is to develop a friendship understanding. We want to discuss, do we have shared values? We said our best way of understanding that is through stories. As we discuss stories of life, we understand the other person. I dated a girl 20 some odd dates, and I couldn't decide. Every I thought I should break up with her, and everyone I was consulting with told me to continue with her. And this kept going on. After date 3 or 4 or 5, I thought this wasn't right, and everyone I was consulting with said, no, you're overreacting, and this kept going on. Until at about date 22, date 23, something like that, I mentioned the following story to her. I said, I had a sibling once who told me, it's like at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, that he had to drive back to his apartment. It was really late at night, and he wasn't sure if he was awake enough. And they said, don't tell mom and dad. And I said, you kidding? And I went and I told my parents. I said, talk to him. He's not sure if he's awake enough, if he should be driving or not. And boy, was he mad at me. And I knew he'd be mad at me. And I said to him, but you know what? I hope you do it for me too. Because if you know that your sibling might be endangering themselves, then you owe it to them to do what they might be annoyed at you for, to get in their way. And she said to me, that's so interesting, because I wouldn't do that. She said she would not do that. She said, if she had a sibling, she said, I wouldn't get them annoyed at me. And when I heard that, to me, I'm not saying you should break up over such a thing, but to me, that was game over. When I heard that, I said, everyone can tell me anything they want. I'm not marrying a girl who can't stand in my way. When I get annoyed at her and I think that she shouldn't, but she thinks she's saving my life, then if she can't do that for me, then I don't want her as my wife. To me, that was the end of the relationship. A story. I'm saying it's important as much as possible in the dating to discuss stories. A girl once told me, one of the questions that girls often ask me, which I don't think I ever asked, but it's an interesting question if you can fit it in. Girls often ask me how I envisioned the Shabbos table. So I'm not sure what value there is to that question. It's interesting. But one of the questions the girls would sometimes ask is, does the husband help set the table, take off from the table, clear the table, bring the food to the table? And I never knew what the right answer to that was. Because as a kid, I always helped bring the food to the table. And I always helped clear the table. Always. I don't know. I'm sure I was a good kid, normal kid, who didn't always do it. But I, at least in general, helped. But as a parent, I wasn't sure what the balance was. You want to help your wife, but if you're going to leave the table, what does the Shabbos table look like? So one girl told me on a date. She said to me, you know, you come to Shabbos, it's after a long, hard week. And for sure, you would enjoy the help. But all my work towards the Shabbos table is so that there'll be a Shabbos table. I want my husband there talking Divrei Torah with the kids. I want my husband asking the kids what their week was like. I want him hearing from the kids and connecting to them over the Shabbos table. But I do think that he should send the kids every so often, whichever kid he's not talking to go and help in the kitchen. And I definitely think that a husband should be there clearing the table, because at that point you've finished the meal. So I definitely think that at that point he should be there helping. And I bought that. I think that's a very nice balanced approach. Where on the one hand, but you got the question is, how do you see it? I'm not telling you to buy into that. You might say, no way, we'll all bring the food to the table and we'll all clear the table. I'm not telling you what's right. To my mind, I think it is a correct answer. But the first girls that asked me the question, I wouldn't have known to answer that. I would have said there are many factors which are important to me, and I'm not sure what the balanced, correct approach. I think that has to be worked out. I don't think you have to show up to the date knowing all the answers. It's legitimate to say my values are A, B, and C. They're important to me, and I think they are components of a Shabbos table. I'd work out with my wife the balanced approach. I'm sorry, we don't have time for questions right now. So that's, again, the stories. I think the stories, if you show up and you corner her and you say, I know a guy that they reached a point financially where it was either they moved to a place where there isn't a good educational system, or he'd have to go working out of town and be home with the family only one Shabbos a month. Which do you think they should have done? So yeah, you're putting her in an unfair corner. That's not fair. I'm saying, I'm not sure, you know, you got to figure out what the factors are in life, you know, how you get out of such a corner. But if you bring stories, a girl once told me that her close friend was in the middle of davening, and the nani came to the door, a man came collecting charity, and she went to answer the door and gave him the charity, And after she gave him the charity, her husband said, how could you leave in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and answer the door? And she was hurt from that for a very long time, because she wasn't in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. She had ended her Shmoneh Esrei. But she felt like, why is he judging my Shmoneh Esrei? So that opened a whole new box to me, that there's a question of how involved should husband and wife be in one another's religious life. Do you want your wife waking you up in the morning for Shacharis? Do you want her telling you, you know, Charles, shouldn't you have a little bit more kavana when you bench? On the other hand, you don't want that, but do you want a situation where you show up at the table? I know a guy that knocked on our door on Friday night. He said he's not sure if he made amotzi on the bread. They started eating the meal, and 10 minutes into the meal, he's asking, did we ever say amotzi? And I'm thinking, you might have missed it, but where was your wife? I can understand the guy missed it, but his wife wouldn't have said something? I don't know. I understand they were both very tired. Must have been a hard week. You wouldn't want your wife to stop you and say, Charles, we forgot amotzi. You know, you're going to start making amotzi and you forgot Kiddush. You wouldn't want your wife to say, buddy, we forgot Kiddush. I think you would. Where's the balance? I'm saying there is a balance, how much we are responsible for one another. I'm not sure that's a point you guys have to discuss in your dating. Perhaps it is, especially if you're dating a girl that's chozer b'tshuva. You're chozer b'tshuva, you're a ger, she's a giyoret. You have fluctuations. How much space are you supposed to give one another in a marriage? We all have ups, we all have downs. Where is it our responsibility to turn a blind eye, give the other guy his space? These are points to ponder. I believe that many times you will get a much better picture by discussing a story. You ask a girl, what do you believe about honesty? What does the girl say? Honesty is the fundamental aspect of every relationship. Without honesty, you can't build anything. Trust is the basis for everything. You ask her, what do you do when you show up late to work? She says, oh, we have the system. We all leave our cards in the stash and a wallet at the entrance to the building. The first one to come in swipes everyone's cards. And we all come in through back doors. And we're all... Where'd honesty go, right? Honesty is a nice theory, but... So stories. Stories about you bought something and when you returned it, it was a higher price. They suddenly gave you store credit for a higher price. But it was a non-Jewish store. Do you have to point it out to them? Would you call a rav and ask? And this goes back to the second component we discussed earlier tonight. How do you decide? My question isn't only where are your values. My question is when issues come up, how will you decide what the correct answer is? To my mind, that is a pivotal component of how you'll run your life. You don't want a situation where you say, we'll call the rabbi. And the woman will say, let's open a Tanakh. We'll do Gora Lagra. You know. See which page opens up in the Tanakh and you figure out the answer. Why is that not good? Honey, you don't believe in God? You don't want to be spiritual? I hear there's a place you could send in money and they'll pray for you. Maybe that should be our solution. Again, you guys are laughing, but it's not funny, it's reality. You want to understand where the person's value systems are and how they make decisions. When we speak about dating, there are two sides to this coin. You have to date with enough frequency to develop a relationship. If you're going to date once a month, it's very hard to develop a relationship. I believe the dating for the first month should be twice a week. If you date more frequently than that, then what might end up happening is you lose your life. In other words, you show up to the date. Let's say you dated her Sunday night, for argument's sake. Okay, so you dated tonight. The date went great. You started the date at 4 o'clock. You ended the date at 11. At 11:30, you called one another just because there was a point you didn't close off on. You start the morning, Monday morning, and you call her up and you say, you know, I remembered there was a point you raised. You end up schmoozing for 3 hours Monday morning. Monday night, you decided you want to close the topic you spoke about Sunday, so you date just for a short two-hour date. Of course, Tuesday morning, you give her a call. Wednesday, Tuesday, you said you have to show up at work because otherwise you're going to lose your job. You show up at work, you're not focused, you're overtired, you're downing 40 cups of coffee, a few Excels on the way. Wednesday morning, you're dating again. By Thursday morning, when you talk about life, you don't remember what life means. You're talking about the job you used to have. Meaning, what can end up happening is if you date with such high frequency, when you talk about your life, it's a distant reality, what used to be life. it's important to retain life dating, which means, at least in the beginning, you don't want to be at more than 3 dates a week. I recommend 2. It's okay if you hit 3. Let's say you date on a Matzei Shabbos, you date again on a Monday, you date again on a Thursday or Friday. Okay, at least you've had enough of a gap, provided you're not schmoozing on the phone in between every date. That's enough of a gap. What did we discuss today? Okay, let's recap. What did we discuss? We discussed on dates we have to make sure we don't have a problem of yichud. We discussed on dates we're trying to discover how we're friends. We want to let the conversation flow. We discussed that on dates we're looking to see that we have shared value, the mashal of boulders, rocks falling down, those are the challenges of life. We don't know where our compromises will drive us. What we want to ensure is that we have shared values so that we end up jumping in the same direction. So that when we have to compromise, we will have the same value system and we will make the same compromises. We won't find ourselves pulling in opposite directions. We discussed that when we want to discover a person's value system, very often we get to the picture much better through stories. Rather than speaking about sound bites, what do you value? Truth is the ideal. Let's speak about reality. Through stories we can understand. We discussed the idea that I have to give legitimacy to two sides if I'm going to present a story. We discussed that beyond the values, we also want to ensure that we share a system as to how to make decisions when we have to make compromise in life, when we have decisions to make. And then we discussed the length of a date. Ideally, the first date or every date should be not less than, in my opinion, an hour and a half. But dates can run longer if things are going nicely. The importance of not ending a date too late, accompanying her at the end of the date. The frequency of dates in the beginning, at least, being somewhere between 2 to 3 times a week. Ending the date where you've concluded that you will call her back, if you're confident or it's clear enough that you should date again, which to my mind, again, the decision, you have to be far more confident to say no than to say yes. To say no, you're saying no for life. To say yes, you're saying yes for one more date. If you're not clear, and you'll be clear after another date, you can go out on another date. We said don't deceive her. If your yes is, I think it's okay, don't make her feel like you're amazing, right? Somewhere, be fair. And we said that the more she has confidence in the relationship, the more she will be open to connecting with you. We said that is also a rule in life, that in all of life, our relationships, really, the more the other party feels like we are close to them and interested in connecting to them, the more they will be interested in connecting with us. We are approaching the conclusion.